Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of the Business of Fashion. Welcome to the BOF podcast. It's Friday, July 28th. Last week, luxury goods group Kering announced a new leadership structure. And one of the biggest winners in the shuffle was Francesca Bellettini, who is now deputy CEO of brand development in addition to her role as CEO of Saint Laurent. This arguably makes her the most powerful female executive in the luxury sector. It's a smart move. Francesca has both the business chops and the creative sensibility required to be a fashion CEO. And she has a very clear model for how to build luxury brands.
From a CEO perspective, it could be seem quite easy simply to grow your top line and forget about the profits, while in reality, it's a profit that make your business sustainable, allow you to continue to invest, allow you to continue to invest in people and growth.
This week on the BOF podcast, I'm pleased to bring back this archive interview with Francesca from BOF Voices 2018. Listening to it again, there are lessons for all of us on how to lead with purpose and authenticity. Here's Francesca Bellettini on the BOF podcast.
So Francesca, I need to start with the question that everyone's been talking about.
Sure. And
let's just get it out of the way, because there's a lot of other things obviously to discuss, but what was your reaction to Hedi Slimane's Celine show?
I looked at the show, of course.
Yeah.
And I was happy for Hedi for his comeback. I think he's an incredibly talented designer and he deserves to be part of the industry. I wish him every success because this is good for all of us. And I'm a huge fan of creativity and talent. So like you said, I had the great opportunity in my life to work with incredible creative people, starting with, of course, Miuccia Prada when I was very, very young, and Mutt Lange very closely. We are still very good friends. And then Tom Ford a little bit, Frida, I knew Alessandro there, and then Hedi, and now Anthony Vaccarello. So I'm a big fan of creative people, but I'm also a big fan of brands. So my reaction was you know, good that another good creative talent is back and is only going to be due to the industry. And that was honestly it.
That's honestly your reaction. Okay. So let's dig a little deeper. You know, when Hedi Slimane first joined Saint Laurent, the business was in a transition, right? Stefano Pilati had left, and you joined shortly after.
About a year and a half later.
Yeah, about a year and a half after. When you look back now and you think about the trajectory that Saint Laurent went on, what do you see as Hedi's contribution to the development of this business?
Well, Hedi Slimane had a tremendous contribution to the brand. I wasn't there when he came to Saint Laurent, but of course I was looking at this from the outside, and then having become the CEO of Saint Laurent, I had the opportunity to dig in more about why that happened and what was done. He came at an incredible moment for the brand, and when the brand needed, some people call it a revolution, but I like to call it a rebranding and reform. Because the brand needed to be brought back to its origin, to the period of the brand when Saint Laurent was very relevant. And the period of the history of the brand when the brand was most relevant were actually the late 60s and beginning of the 70s, when Yves Saint Laurent himself created the Prêt-à-Porter. That was an incredible move, was when the brand was vibrant, was when the brand went closer to the street, closer to the consumer, and those were really the years that have set what the brand was standing for in terms of values of freedom to speak, liberation, at the same time sophistication, bringing the style to the street. Over the years, that got a little bit abandoned. Maybe people focused more on single product than on branding. And so what was done in 2012 by Paul Deneuve and Hedi Slimane, who were there at the same time, was really refocusing the brand on its origin and on the period that was the most vibrant, starting to call things with the appropriate name, because when Yves Saint Laurent launched Prêt-à-Porter, he did it under the umbrella of Saint Laurent Rive Gauche, because at that time, he was still doing haute couture, and we were not, and we are not doing haute couture. So basically, by doing this very abruptly, in a way that seemed a revolution, actually, they brought back very clearly the spirit of the brand. So we needed that revolution to really stand even clearer for the values that the brand had brought in. So when I arrived, that was done. But what I found was all the assets that have been built through the years in the brand. The brand, thanks to every creative director that has been working in the brand over the years, had become incredibly successful also in the business of accessories. And like we were discussing at lunch, accessories give you the possibility to have more profit, and so even to invest in a rebranding. And it had already a very balanced business in terms of product categories, a very balanced business in terms of geography. We were not, even when we were, I mean, I joined and the brand was about 560 million, but we were not overexposed in any market or in any nationalities. We had very successful both retail and wholesale business. So everything was there, and the contribution was brought by every single person that worked in the brand. Of course, with that incredible asset, when you clarify the brand positioning and you do it in such a strong way, then everything comes together. And then after a revolution that boosts the beginning of your success, you need a moment of consolidation. I mean, after every revolution, you need a constitution phase if you want then to become a longevity business. And this is what we have been doing. I mean, I think you can share with me the fact that in the last 2 years, the brand has been evolving a lot. With the arrival of Anthony Vaccarello, the value has been clarified even more. It has pushed the brand even more to the limit, clarifying what we stand for, clarifying what the Saint Laurent woman is. And I think that people recognize the authenticity in the way we do that. And this has created a platform for a tremendous growth, both in revenues, but even in profitability. Because sometimes, from a CEO perspective, it could be seem quite easy simply to grow your top line and forget about the profits, while in reality it's a profit that make your business sustainable, allow you to continue to invest, allow you to continue to invest in people and growth. So the contribution was brought by every actor in the picture. Of course, what was done with Eddie is much more visible and it's very important because it brought the brand together. But you need to build it in a solid way and you need to have something that is incredibly relevant, that is the brand, the mm-hmm. brand itself. We and all
it,
work
it
for the brand.
It has been solid. And, you know, when Hedi Slimane left, the business continued to grow. Yeah. And some would argue that the template that was created by Hedi was, you know, very faithfully respected by Anthony, who also injected his own ideas.
Absolutely.
But I think the question that a lot of people were asking, another thing we talked about over lunch, was, aren't you afraid now that some of your customers are going to run off to Celine because, you know, the Slimaniacs, they call them, aren't they just going to shift their loyalty because there's another brand doing something kind of similar?
No, in reality, this is a quite simplistic way of viewing things. I mean, I know you and I talked about and we agree. When you change a creative director in a brand, in particular a brand that doesn't have the name of the creative director, of course, if Stella leaves, Stella is kind of left empty. But when a creative director leaves a brand, the fan of the creative director disappear almost immediately. In the span of 6 to 8 months, they are all gone, and you are impacted more or less in a different way in different product categories or in different market. But what happens is like you lose some of the fan of the old creative director, you gain the fan of the new creative director, but you don't need to forget that there is a big chunk of fan of the brand itself, and then a big fan of what the new creative director does for the brand. And I think that the results that quite naturally and silently we have been able to bring show that these flows of in and out has been accretive for us. So this is why you saw me probably being confident and
cool,
quite
as a
relaxed.
Cucumber.
And
yes. Quite,
I mean, nobody has ever defined me like that, but I like it as a definition because we already went through that phase.
Yeah. So basically, you're saying the Slimaniacs had already left the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you told me a bunch of them were in Japan. Male Japanese consumers.
That is where it was immediately visible. Really, I mean, Eddie Slimane in Japan is really like a rock star and is really able to bring in and out of fashion entire consumers. But as I said, then thank God in Saint Laurent the brand is bigger than any of us. And what Anthony has been doing for the brand has resiliated very well with old consumer, new consumer, consumer that we had. We talked about the fact that in fashion every year, minimum 70 to 80% of your consumer are new. So what is the real challenge for us and what is the real challenge for me is how to remain relevant.
Right.
I mean, 2 years in fashion time is a very long time. So you saw that we did quite a lot of things. And what we think about is actually how do we remain relevant? How do we continue growing but without compromising on the positioning of the brand? How do we continue to launch successful product? I mean, we had each and every creative director being able to create incredible icons for our brand. And those icons have been living through the brands, of course, retouched, reviewed by the following creative director. But I am very happy to say that actually the ultimate best-selling product in the history of Saint Laurent, the single SKU that has been selling the most, is a SKU that has been created by Anthony a year ago. Don't ask me to tell you which one.
I won't. But so the best-selling product in the history of Saint Laurent was created by Anthony Baccaro.
Yes, and this is not dependent only on the product, but I think it is because it's coming in a context where everything makes sense, you know? When you communicate the brand right, when you are authentic, when you communicate your values without fear, and consumers recognize that what you're telling them is really what you stand for, that you simply don't bend because there is this or that trend in the market that apparently is cooler than you in a certain moment.
Sure.
They recognize this to you. And then when in that moment you are able to put in the market a product that also from a merchandising perspective is a good product, you insert it in the right context, makes sense with the rest of the brand, it becomes a bestseller and a new icon. So That's why you saw me as a cucumber.
All right. Moving on to something else.
Yes, okay.
You know, there's a lot, you talked about like 80% of the new customers coming into, you know, a brand every year are new.
Yeah.
And increasingly, a lot of those customers are Chinese customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just came back from the BOF China Summit a few
with
weeks
back.
With
my friend Marco.
Yes, with Marco, exactly. And it's just fascinating to me every time I go to China. I'm curious about your thoughts about navigating that market. Some, you know, analysts, investors are worried that the market is slowing. What are your thoughts? What's your read on the temperature of the Chinese market?
I don't know if this comes from the fact that I'm optimistic by definition. So if you give me a glass, I tend to see it always half full instead of half empty. I like to focus on the things that, even if they're difficult, they become opportunity. But like you said this morning, I mean, China next year is going to be the biggest market in luxury. And still, China is projected to grow to a solid single digit that is still double than a lot of the other markets. So yes, clearly China has slowed down compared to the inflated growth that it had in the past. I mean, I'm in this industry since many years, and I saw China growing 60, 70% every year. That is unsustainable. But still, being the biggest market, is growing high single digit, double than Europe, for example. And so I believe that for brands in particular that have not been too exposed to the market, that have not been opening too many stores in tier two, tier three cities, because at the beginning when people didn't know how China was, we in the industry misinterpret the country. We thought that simply because a town had a lot of inhabitants, by definition, it would have been good for fashion. Simply, you have a lot of people disinterested in fashion. So you really have to open stores where there is a relevant crowd for that, exactly like you do in any other market. The difference is that in China, the scale and the number of the population has a different magnitude and a different proportion. So for all of those brands that are not too exposed, China represents a tremendous opportunity. For us at Saint Laurent, it is like that. If you think about it, we have been growing so much, but we don't even have a flagship yet in China. We are going to open.
Really?
Yeah. We are going to open our first flagship store at the beginning of next year in Beijing and the second one in Shanghai. So for us, the market is still full of opportunities, and I think for a lot of other fashion brands. And in particular, what I like of this moment is that the policies that the Chinese government is putting together in order to stimulate local consumption stimulates a healthy business with Chinese. I'm a huge believer of building your business first with your local clients. I believe that if you conquer the heart of a consumer at home, then wherever they travel, they follow you. So this is a way in the last 5 years we have been trying to work at Saint Laurent, trying to build a loyal and authentic relationship with clients in their home country. I always say to the president of my regions, build a business with the locals because the touristic flow can come and go, and you get them when they come, and when they go, you need to have a solid base to take care of. This means that you need to build a supply chain that is very agile and flexible, because when those touristic flow changes, you need to be able to reallocate the stock that eventually you had bought, making the projection of the demand for a certain country. But then I like the idea of being able to build an authentic relationship with Chinese consumer more in their own country, because I think it becomes more real and authentic. Mm-hmm. And we are investing a lot of resources at Saint Laurent to try to really build relationships that are authentic, in trying to make sure that the people that work for Saint Laurent are very aware of the value that the brands represent. They understand them, they internalize them, but then they are able to deliver them in an authentic way and in a way that they feel comfortable with.
Sure.
I hate when I go to stores and I see sales associates that give you a speech that they have been provided to, and you can tell they don't know what they're talking about and they don't believe in what they're telling you. So, for example, we just finished at Saint Laurent a global retail conference where we took all of our store director, assistant store director and retail team, about 500 people in Paris. We really shared with them what Saint Laurent stands for, what France is, what Paris is. We took them to Marrakesh as well, and we try to engage them and make them understand the brand they work for, to make them fall in love even more with the brand.
So they toured the museum in Marrakesh and everything?
And even the Jardin Majorelle.
Amazing.
So we partner a lot with Fondation.
500 people?
Yes, divided in groups. But you have to invest in your people. Your people are your first asset and your first consumer. I mean, how can I pretend to engage consumer outside the company if we are not able to engage the people that work for the company? And I am a believer in truth, and I believe that if you tell who you are, people can choose to like you or not. But it's awful when you pretend to be who you are not and then people discover who you really are and they're disappointed. Last night, I tell you a story because it really happened last night. Actually, a very young guy working for another brand of the group wrote to me an email. And he said, and I didn't know who he was. He said, Francesca, I work for this brand and my boyfriend is a student at Bocconi. He saw you when you went to speak at Bocconi. And I know that you have started your career in investment banking. Mm-hmm. Can you please spare a minute of your time to read this presentation letter of my boyfriend that he's sending to Goldman Sachs? And can you please...
Where you used to work.
Where I used to work.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me if what he is writing in the letter can amplify the chances for my boyfriend to be hired? And I was like, who is this guy?
That's some chutzpah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, the guy doesn't know me. I don't know him. He doesn't even write for himself. He writes for the boyfriend. So I actually opened the letter and read it. And this guy in the letter was writing about an episode of his personal life that related to escalating a mountain. I'm not going to tell you the episode. And he was talking about it in his presentation letter. And what I answered to this guy, you know, I cannot tell you if there are tips or shortcuts to get a job in Goldman Sachs, but what I can tell you is that if that episode for your boyfriend is really breakthrough and it's really the way he wants to be presented, let him do that. Better to present yourself for the way you really are, because then if you are hired, you have much more chances to be good at your job.
Sure.
And it is the same in the relationship with the consumer. Present yourself in the way you are. Be authentic. If they choose you, they remain with you. And this is what we tend to do.
We're almost out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you for some advice. You know, it strikes me that our industry is, and this has come up in a variety of conversations today, actually, our industry is still run by generally old white men. Mm. You are one of the very few women at the top, the very, very top of a global billion-dollar fashion brand. So for all those young women out there who want to follow in your footsteps, you know, what advice do you have to offer them?
The first advice that I can offer to them is like to really be living it. And the second one is like to try to distance themselves from the people that want to take their dreams down simply because they're women. I've been incredibly lucky in my life. I never, ever had the feeling that being a woman was kind of a negative spot. I come from a family where we are three sisters and we are three very different people. We do three very different things. But when I was saying to my parents, oh, you know, I want to study economics, or, you know, one day I want to run a big company, because honestly, this is what I always wanted to do.
From a young age, you wanted to run a company.
Yes, I really wanted that, because my brother-in-law had a small company on his own, and I loved the fact that he was traveling, he was doing all these interesting things, and so that is what I wanted to do. And when I was talking to my dad about that, he never said, oh, come on, you are a woman, just learn how to cook. You know how parents, even joking, can turn you down? That never happened to me. So for me, it was kind of normal that being a woman, I could try to do whatever I wanted. And then I was, again, very lucky in my career because I joined Kering in 2003, so 15 years ago. So you can really tell that I built my career and I grew inside a company and a group led by François-Henri Pinault that really makes of gender equality a mantra and a real value. And where basically if you have the qualities that he searches for and the ambition to become someone, you're given the opportunity. So I acknowledge that this is not the word. What I can say is like I hope that people like François-Henri Pinault and group like Kering can inspire others to do that. And I hope I can be the proof that if you take the risk, also a woman can deliver. So maybe...
And you have delivered.
Are gonna do it.
And you have delivered.
I hope so.
You're an inspiration. Thank you, Francesca.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. The BOF podcast is edited and produced by Emma Clark and Eric Bria in the BOF studio team.
Hold up.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.